The University Tower chimes, ringing another session of Ask the Professor, the radio show on which you match wits with the University of Detroit Mercy professors in an unrehearsed session of questions and answers. I'm your host, Matt Mayo, and let me introduce to you our panel for today. To my left, it's Professor Beth Oljar from Philosophy.
Good to be here.
Good to be here, and thank you for filling in the gaps in my knowledge.
I know, sorry.
With regard to objectivism.
Oh, I'm sorry you have to have an odd person.
It's
subbing.
I always, thought that I would be odd and Ravenclaw. So we're together on that. So don't worry about it too much.
Ravenclaw.
Professor Dave Chow is here, dutifully filling out our show sheet from the College for Creative Studies.
Pleasure
Say
to be
that
here.
Three times. Show sheet.
Yeah.
Show sheet.
Yeah. Careful. Careful. Pleasure to be here as always.
Thanks for coming.
Sure.
As always.
I try.
How are your holidays?
What holidays? I spent them overseas.
Yeah, that's there you go.
Yeah, okay. New Year's Eve on in a different country, 13 hours ahead, is different. That's I'm like, wait a minute, it's midnight back home. No, it isn't. So I have no idea what year it is right now.
This is the year that Marty McFly went into the future and Back to the Future too.
Is it really?
Yes, it is. Good piece of trivia, by the way. The original script had nothing to do with the car. It was a fridge. And the first test audience said, if you make a movie where the fridge is a time machine, kids are going to die because they're going to jump in their fridges and expect to...
Yeah. And kids won't ever have an access to a DeLorean. So.
Right. That's true. They can go to the Henry Ford, but that's about it.
Yeah. Nobody does anymore.
That is Professor Jim Tubbs from Religious Studies. Yeah, I think I have to agree with you on that one. Yeah. It was much cooler to get to 88 miles per hour than jump in a fridge.
What was the other thing? But you got to get down to 28 below zero.
Now tug on the vegetable crisper, and then away you go. Oh my gosh! Yeah, that's my favorite movie of all time. You can make fun of me if you want to, but
we do anyway.
We will.
Don't worry. Get in line.
It changed my life forever. Professor Jason Roach is here from Communication Studies.
I would say I'm delighted to be here after I turn out the light switch, but I don't have access to the switch.
Okay.
But I say that to my students all the time.
He's here because he's here.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes, exactly. Do they groan or are they just not?
Oh, no,
respond?
They groan.
Okay.
Which is a reaction. It's better than none.
It is.
That is true. That is absolutely
true. In my
opinion. Professor Heather Hill Vasquez is here from English. So what's the last pun that you dropped on your students that they actually got and groaned at?
Oh, now you're stumping me.
I'm putting you on the spot.
Get a mug.
Then how about instead of the last one, a favorite one?
Favorite
one?
I see. How is a pig's tail like the early morning? They're both too early.
I can't think of anything.
Oh.
But I can say that, I should be very pleased because I'm getting to teach young adult dystopian literature in my senior seminar.
That's totally cool. What are you reading?
We're reading Divergent and The Hunger Games and Maze Runner.
Mm-hmm.
And The Giver.
Did you see Maze Runner movie?
It's just coming out on DVD right now.
Okay. Yeah, I saw
it.
Was it good?
I actually think it's kind of, and I never say this, I actually think the movie's a little better than the book.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
I'm
check that
to
out
see
then.
The Giver.
Can an English professor even say that?
Mm-hmm.
She just did.
That's the one where, I only have 11 and 6 at home, but in the movie commercial, the trailer commercial for Maze Runner and all the things going on, they were like, we kind of got to see that, right, Dad? I'm like, I've never heard of this before. So they're not old enough to be dystopian quite yet.
Yeah. Well, the flip side of dystopia.
It's coming. Folks, this is a program where you can send us questions regarding anything, your view of a dystopian future. If you stump the panel, you can win one of our prizes. If you don't stump the panel, you win one of our prizes. You can send the questions to us in a number of ways. You can email us at atp@udmercy.edu. You can reach us on the web at udmercy.edu/atp. You can tweet us by using @AskTheProfUDM or #AskTheProfUDM on Twitter or find us on Facebook. I know that in close proximity to the holidays, there was a very rigorous discussion on proper use of the phrase in the wheelhouse that I'm very common to use. And I got roasted pretty hardcore by our listenership, so I will never use those words in that order ever again.
I don't know why you should let that bother you. I was ranting to Drew the other day about, Heather knows one of my pet peeves is irregardless, which actually makes me want to scream.
Yes.
That's an irridiculous word.
The other is the use, I know it's common, religious as a noun.
Religious as, oh yeah, that is common, and Catholics use it a lot, don't we?
Yeah, that's actually.
But it's stupid because religious is an adjective. It's
in medieval studies we use it all the time.
Oh, no. It simply means a member of a religious order.
Are you a religious?
It's not.
Or are you not?
It's not.
It can be a. It is recognized as a noun.
I am sorry.
You just don't use it that way because you don't talk about it.
Bubble. Look, but it's been around a long time.
Regardless, is a perfectly cromulent word. Okay, so
and Matt, instead of wheelhouse,
religious as a noun is actually way, way, way better.
Okay, okay,
way less objectionable.
Regardless,
I have a problem
because
with
I believe
impact
you about
and impactful.
Impactful, I don't get that. Didn't exist when I was growing
references
up.
Instead of refers to. No,
I don't like that.
Interesting.
Either.
We're getting
religious
to the heart
just
of something
strikes me
here.
As awkward as a
man. Are we going to come up a
not
with a
you,
list of
probably
words
just
we're not supposed to use?
When you use it all the time, I guess it just
but probably
gets
if
that
I
way.
Was familiar with medieval literature, I would.
Somehow, every other year, my students gravitate to just give you your simple lecture in chemistry today: starting material and product. You with me, you know, from synthesis, starting product. I'm like, I think you just blew my mind. And how did you come up with that? They do it all the time. Like someone is shadow teaching them these extra words. And, it, you know, I'm with you.
Well,
on your
tell me about the prior reaction is what
exactly.
I would say.
Exactly. Very good. Very good. Now, that's retrosynthesis. But starting product is – we have some questions here that we didn't finish from Drew Warner. They're about superheroes and comic books, and they're totally cool. And I need to know who the father of Shang-Chi, Marvel Comics' master of kung fu, is.
Hong Kong Fooey.
Not Confucius.
Oh, wait, wait, hold on. Hong Kong
Fooey. Not Hong Kong Fooey.
Darn, I like that answer better.
It is also the name of a certain style of facial hair.
Oh, Fu Manchu.
Fu Manchu.
Yes. I knew.
Where's Jim Edwards when you need him from the Pistons back in the day? What was Green Lantern Hal Jordan's job? After he was kicked out of the Air Force.
He was a test pilot.
He was a test pilot. That's right. Blind superhero Daredevil is who? What's his name in civilian life?
Matt Murdock.
What does he do?
He's a lawyer.
He's a lawyer. Oh, how did that happen, huh?
Wow.
And how
Blind
was Ben Affleck
justice.
Cast as him?
You know what? We have that here in Michigan, too.
Oh, yes.
Blind lawyers?
Yeah.
Oh, that's true. Yeah. And they're on the Supreme Court.
On the Supreme Court.
I voted for him.
A very excellent lawyer on the Supreme Court,
too.
I think they said it was the only time a Michigan Supreme Court person had a disability to term it at that level.
Well, he's awfully bright.
Yes, that's what they say.
He also ran marathons, too. So.
Mm-hmm.
Which beloved Marvel character was originally the herald of the world-devouring villain Galactus?
The Silver Surfer.
The Silver Surfer. Do you know what the Silver Surfer is?
Norrin Red.
Wow.
Good Lord.
Welcome, everybody, to the Dave Chow Show.
Fantastic Four, yes.
Issues 48, 49, and 50 of Fantastic Four, if you really want to know.
Oh,
my. Really,
now, I'm really
more
pushing
more of a Marvel guy than a DC guy?
No, I can float back and forth.
Oh, Drew's definitely more Marvel than
I'm both.
DC.
I'm both.
Not many people who've seen the recent movies know the secret identity of Dr. Donald Blake is
Thor.
Thor, yes, the god Thor. What was the occupation of Thor's mortal girlfriend, Jane Foster?
Nurse.
She's an astrophysicist in the movies.
Yes, but she is a nurse in the comic books.
Oh,
yes.
Dan, I remember when we went and saw Thor in the theater, and Dan just... So we got out of here, and Dan, did you like the movie? No, and then he went on to this, it was entirely anti-feminist.
Oh.
He was completely just appalled by the way that...
Natalie Portman,
just, you know, who's obviously incredibly brilliant and an astrophysicist in the film, and she just melts when she sees Thor. And I just looked at him, I was listening to him, like, okay, well, actually, yeah, you're right. And now I think I agree with you about this. But it was just surprised me how sort of vehemently he felt about that.
It's Dan. What do you expect?
Yeah.
Well, I was a little surprised, actually.
Yeah, really.
What's the last name of Bruce Wayne's butler?
Pennyworth.
Pennyworth. Alfred Pennyworth.
I thought it was just Alfred.
Yeah. Alfred.
I didn't know he had a last name.
Mm-hmm. Let's not even go who played him in all the movies now. So.
The seminal comic series, Watchmen, was based on what comic book company's roster? Based on their roster. From this comic book company.
Was it Charlton?
Charlton, yep. Very well done.
Hmm.
Where did the Avengers find Captain America in Avengers number 4?
In an iceberg.
In an iceberg. Yeah. Makes perfect sense.
That's why he never had his date with Agent Carter.
Please tell me you're watching Agent Carter. Oh,
watch
my
the first
Lord.
Episode. Drew's totally in love with her. There's he just only totally has a thing for Haley.
Wow. Wow.
There's only eight.
I thought that you would like it, Beth.
I can't even it's watch okay. it back without yeah. with fast forwarding into commercials.
I've tried DVR to do. I did the first episode of Agent Carter. I did the first few episodes of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. And I'm just like, you know, I get it that you love this, and mm-hmm. but it's just not my thing.
That's all right. Yeah. Which Marvel antihero was discovered as an amnesiac bum? I was like, am I reading that right? In the Bowery by Human Torch of the Fantastic Four.
Submariner.
Yes, Namor the Submariner.
The first mutant. That's
really interesting. Namor was?
Mm-hmm.
I thought Apocalypse was the first mutant.
No,
well, in
X-Men
in the comic
is another thing entirely.
Oh, okay. Okay. Well, then you're very much looking forward to X-Men Apocalypse. That'll be just a couple summers away.
If it has Michael Fassbender in it, James McAvoy.
You could
think
care
you're
going to
be all right.
Less.
X-Men First Class is the only movie that we watched it, and then as soon as it was done, I said, we're watching it again.
Wow.
I've never done that with any other movie.
Wow.
I just think it was one of the coolest films.
Is that the one with the Cuban Missile Crisis?
Yes. This whole retro 60s Cuban mm-hmm. Missile Crisis thing, plus James McAvoy and Michael Fassbender.
Those two could flip eggs and you would watch them, right?
And Kevin Bacon. Ooh.
Yeah,
they can flip Kevin Bacon with the
eggs. He's a great actor. But.
Hold on, we got to fry some bacon. We got to take a break.
It's an Ask the Professor flashback. 1998.
On my left, one of the original founding fathers of Ask the Professor from the Department of History, Professor Emeritus, former chair, Fred Hayes.
Yes. Oh, thank you.
I want to begin this program, which is the last program I will be moderating, with a set of questions that were actually sent to Borders by Bert Tilley of Atala, Alabama. Bert has been one of our regular questioners for, it seems like, forever. He says, good luck, Edwin, George, and Sarah. Don't be a stranger, but stay strange. Thank you, Bert. Yes. This U.S. industrialist made cars, the Hoover and the Grand Coulee Dams, aluminum foil, and the Liberty Ships. Who was he?
Henry Kaiser.
That's right. That's right.
Right. He made the Kaiser roll, too.
Yeah,
people don't know that. After he got through being Emperor of Germany.
Yeah. There you go. What deformity had Kaiser Wilhelm II?
His arm was withered. His left arm was
It occurred
arm
during his birth. What was it?
His withered arm.
That's right.
Royalty is itself a deficiency.
Yeah.
Did he pitch for the Tigers?
And we're back with some questions from Drew Warner. We have one more comic book question, and I think we'll save the other set of questions he sent for another time and stretch it out even further.
Lengthen the cruelty. That's always a good way to
show. What are you talking about? This is perfectly fine.
I know.
Dave is doing great with these questions.
I'm going to go home and say, well, Dave answered all your questions.
Don't just leave us dangling,
Matt. I'll see him at Sam's Diner tonight.
What was the secret of the first Human Torch?
He was an android.
He was an android. Yeah, that's what it says here.
He also became the Vision, too.
What? Seriously?
Yeah.
Wow. Gosh, I don't know anything about anything.
What is it
anymore.
That E says in The Incredibles? Oh, no capes.
Sorry.
No capes. No more capes, Drew.
Oh,
it makes sense.
There was a terrible cape accident.
Oh, come on. You guys have all heard that thing. You know, they always made fun of, like, Superman. Why are you wearing your underwear on the outside?
Yeah, of course.
Why are you wearing a cape? It doesn't make sense.
Well, because it looks good.
The Incredibles is such a great movie.
That
I love at the beginning
a great
where
movie.
Elastigirl says, and leave the saving of the world to the men? I don't think so. Yes,
they should have made more of those.
I think are probably coming.
Why?
Even though I don't think they should be made
you
more.
You don't like
of.
It?
No, I love it, but just leave it as is.
Yeah, do you want a Cars 2 again?
Let's not go there.
I'm happy either way.
Family.
Hello, panel. Hope you and your families had wonderful Christmas, and the same sentiments to everyone, including Michael Jason and his family as well. Nice. Many families.
Thank you.
Picking up where we left off from my guest Quizmaster episode, there are 20 more questions from all over the map. In addition, there's a 21st question that has to do with the city of Detroit. Please note, I have labeled the pages in the upper right-hand corner, Matt, so you don't have another embarrassing moment in which you don't know where they're from. I did that to Kimberly last term. I'm very, very sorry about it. But long story short, Kimberly apologizes for having a little bit of a sinus thing going around when he was with us. And the bottom line is, as Snoopy would say, blech. Best as always, Kimberly. Thanks for sending these in. We're going to dive into them right now. Oh my gosh, he actually headed his paper like he's turning something into me.
I get kissed by a dog. I have dog germs.
You know, oh, I'm upside
off. Oh, yeah, I was going to say.
Brian is 2 points.
And in my class, why isn't it matted? How come it's not framed?
Yeah, exactly.
Come on.
Exactly. How much money does an American athlete earn from the U.S. Olympic Committee for winning a gold medal?
It's like $1,400. It's not a heck of a lot.
$3,000.
We are operating on Sochi.
Oh,
20,000.
So the last, Jim, I'm giving it to you. We got 25,000 of gold, 15 for silver, and 10,000 for
bronze. Is
that
just the cost of the medal, or you get that, no, that like amount of the addition?
The prize.
You were paid.
You cash prize.
I didn't even know you got cash prize. I thought the medal
I thought
was
the Wheaties box was enough.
Mm-hmm. And they no well, longer let you yeah. do a
If you win in Russia, you
chance.
Might get a new car or apartment.
A back rub.
Oh, well, yeah.
Or how about
back
this,
in the
Jim?
Cold War days.
These bonuses pale in comparison to most other nations. Russia pays 114,000 American for a gold. And Kazakhstan leads with $250,000 for a gold medal.
Now
they
I know why
paid too many
so,
of those have they?
I don't think so.
They don't.
It's
pay
sort of
potassium.
Like that hole in one thing that's at every golf outing. Yeah, like, exactly. Oh, that'll never happen. You know. Da, da, da.
I'm wondering if that's why so many coaches actually coach. Well, no, they don't get gold medals. So.
Yeah, I don't know. Tell you this though, this pretty much should put everybody in the right place when it comes to the new IOC because I guess. We're two or three summer Olympiads away from the final three mm-hmm. cities are all American, so it's going to be in America. This money does not come from the U.S. government, but is raised how? By the USOC.
Private donations.
Private donations.
Corporate bribes.
Donations.
Cookies.
Taking bribes.
Corporate.
Cookies.
Kickbacks.
Prepare to grit your teeth.
Selling TV
corporate
rights.
Sponsorship.
Broadcast rights, licensing,
okay.
and trademark
oh,
wow. income.
Okay.
Yes. So it's kind of sad. What two-time Oscar-winning best actor challenged Paul McCartney to write a song on the spot and then lost?
Two-time what again now?
Two-time Oscar-winning best actor challenged Paul McCartney to write a song on the spot and then lost.
Robert Redford?
No.
John Voight?
No. You saw would, it, John Voight.
No. Really not. Paul McCartney would not be the person you would want.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah. That,
seriously, why would you think...
In 1973, this person asked Paul how he came up with songs, and McCartney answered, he, quote, just made them up. This person
well,
produced
yeah.
a magazine article about Pablo Picasso's death and quoted the artist's last words. McCartney turned them into the words of a song on the spot.
That's what it was called, or that's when he did it?
He did it on the spot.
And it got turned into Wings' Band on the Run. Which is a pretty darn
wow.
good song,
yeah,
I gotta say.
Wow. Holy cow.
The original
the
title was
70s.
Pablo Picasso's Last Words.
And who
so
was
the actor.
We're trying to
right.
find the actor.
We're still finding the actor who dared him and came had up he, with what I would say is a really, really good song.
Had yeah. he won two Oscars at that time?
Yes.
In
yes.
73.
So oh, I want to be careful about that, though, because there were some nominations in the 80s as well. So we would have been a young man during 1973.
It's not Burt Reynolds. Not
Dustin
Shatner.
Hoffman.
Dustin Hoffman.
I was
there we go.
Say that,
there
it.
We go.
Believe
yep.
it or not.
Isn't that
you
incredible?
Could congratulate me.
Congratulations, Jason.
Oh, thank
Damn
you.
Damn it, Jason. I mean... Great.
Sorry,
good
I was
job.
Fine.
Sorry. That's all.
Psychic powers.
Yeah, he sucked it out of my head.
Yeah, he must have been a real young
yeah,
man.
One
I think
of
you're
he
right,
hadn't
Beth,
won at that
because
point.
I don't think you challenge. I mean, you don't spit in the wind. You don't tug on Superman's cape. And
you
don't
mess around with Jim.
Yeah. Seriously.
Are you a Jim Croce fan, too?
Maybe
I love
little,
Jim Croce.
Yeah,
I listened great. To him a lot when I was very young, and it stuck with me. It's kind mm-hmm. of good stuff.
That song in particular.
I saw a documentary about him once, and I was almost brought to tears. Apparently, he could not fill in your retroactive ADHD, autism. He could not communicate with people about his love, but he picked up his guitar, and he could write a song on the spot and tell you how he felt. And
wow.
he would do that with his kids all
time
the time.
Time in a bottle?
It's just time in a bottle.
Yeah, I love time in a bottle.
He could not say that to somebody. He had to sing it to somebody. I think that that's fascinating.
Roller Derby Queen, yeah. one of my personal favorites.
What catchphrase associated with an action film star had been popularized long earlier by singer Jody Watley in a number one hit single?
What was Jody Watley's?
Do you feel lucky, punk?
No, but that was the first place I
oh,
was going to go. This is a
Jody
key line Watley. In Watley's 1987 Looking for New Love. For a new love, pardon me.
Are you going to go my way?
No,
no,
baby. I know that song.
Do you feel lucky, punk? Oh.
Get off my lawn.
Yeah, it ranks as number 76 on the American Film Institute's list of the 100 greatest movie quotes. Let me just say, someone's got to send us a question set based on AFI's 100 greatest movie quotes. That's
on AFI's 100 greatest anything.
Yeah. That sounds
didn't
cool.
Didn't we have that one person send in all those movie questions at one point?
Yeah, we did have some movie questions.
The song...
I'll Be Back?
It was not I'll Be Back, but you're dang close because it was 1991. And what else do you think Arnold Schwarzenegger might say?
Hasta la vista, baby.
Hasta la vista, baby.
It's not the tumor. Yes. Not.
Yeah. Hasta la vista, it is.
Cop. Nice job, Jason.
Yes. Thanks. The tone has turned. So this is a fairly well-known bit of internet lore, but it's trivial enough that if you guys don't know it, it's pretty interesting. What was Google's original name going to be?
Oh. Giggle.
Not giggle, but you know what? That's a great guess.
Goggle.
Because the other thing Gaggle. Would have been Google, Gecko. As in the number.
Gecko would be cool.
Which
Gecko.
Is one with 100 zeros after it. Mm-hmm.
Gajillion.
Nope.
Bob and Dave's search engine. No.
Yeah.
Look.
The EncyclopediaBritannica.com.
I'm trying to think of a way to do this. It is the end of the day, and all my kids are put to bed. My wife and I are relaxing, watching television, Agent Carter, perhaps. And very often, my wife says, you know...
Take out the trash?
No. There's going to be no way for me to do
it. Would you like some more dessert?
No. No.
Do you feel lucky?
Well, hasta la vista, baby. Points at the door, tells me to leave.
Oh, man.
No. No, then Google was originally registered as Backrub. Is what it was called on September 15th, 1997.
Yeah, how were you going to work your way to
I would love
that.
To hear where the rest of your story was.
Yeah, I was going
to
say.
My wife asked me for a back rub every once in a while. I didn't think that.
Just every once in a while,
yeah,
not every
say,
night.
Yeah,
not every night.
Wow.
Google was originally supposed to be back rub.
That is so bizarre.
And if we go back to the founding of Amazon, what we find psychologically is that single word and keyword things that people remember, even if they have nothing to do with what those things are the things that become the most popular internet companies.
Hmm.
Amazon chose its name because in the logo, the arrow goes from A to Z. Z. So they have everything.
Oh, and what
no
was their original
that,
name?
So, oh, I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah, like Front Rub
Jeff
or something
Bezos
like that.
Jeff Bezos' special shop of stuff.
Oh, my goodness.
What was the name of the internet's very first search engine? From McGill University in Montreal, Canada.
Alta Vista? No.
It was a nickname for what they thought they were going to be called at that time, archives, because it was a giant repository of information.
Pandora?
No. What nickname could you pull from the word archive?
Archie.
Archie is what it was called. Hmm. Absolutely. Hmm. Good old McGill. McGill, the Harvard of the North. Would you agree?
Sure.
Okay.
I couldn't attend there, so.
I wasn't saying anything about you.
So they wouldn't let you in.
Are you kidding?
Got to be a good school, right?
I guess.
Okay.
I think this one is being addressed directly to Beth. Which Beatles singles occupied all top five slots on Billboard's Hot 100 50 years ago, the week of April 3rd, 1964?
I Want to Hold Your Hand?
I Want to Hold Your Hand.
Let's see. I Want to Hold Your Hand was number four.
Penny Lane?
No, nope. That was too next late. Year. Please Please Me?
Please Please Me was number five.
Back rub? Oh, no.
I'm never going to bring
she
it up.
She Loves
again.
You is Twist too and late.
She Loves You was number three. Twist and Shout was number two. And number one?
Could not possibly be Don Kashane.
We've said no. I want to hold your hand.
Love Me Do? No.
Oh, I thought it was a dead giveaway and you guys didn't get
it. We didn't hear it.
We weren't listening to you.
He was whistling?
Can't Buy Me Love.
Yes, okay. Can't Buy Me Love.
Wow.
For the record, the feat has never been repeated.
And five probably never will.
Five of the top five is hardcore.
Because when you're the best band ever,
yep.
Nobody else will ever.
Nobody else will ever repeat it. Who was the first female athlete to have her picture grace the front of a Wheaties box?
Mary Lou Retton.
And it says here Mary Lou Retton in 1984.
Yeah.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. General Mills claimed that their data showed that Wheaties sales improved after her appearance. Wheaties is well known for featuring prominent athletes in the exterior of the package and has become a major cultural icon. In 1934, aviator Eleanor Smith became the first female to appear on the back of the Wheaties box, which is kind of
Mary Lou's Gold has an asterisk next to it anyway.
Does it?
It does, in my mind.
What does she do? I'm not...
Why does it have an asterisk?
Because the Yeah, I mean, the boycott of the Olympics, she wasn't competing against the Romanians.
That's true.
I mean, that doesn't mean she wasn't a good gymnast. She was, but I don't think it was...
No, I know what you mean.
The competition
she
wasn't
getting
as...
the competition from the strong gymnastics countries.
That... She was gutsy.
She was a much better Tiny Tim in the movie Scrooged with Bill Murray.
Okay.
I love that movie, by the way.
It's a great movie.
Great movie.
I love the movie. What did Gregory Pincus co-invent? He was an American biologist.
Do you know this one?
Post-it note.
Like super glue?
I know this one. And I can tell you that Wayne State University was highly involved.
That doesn't help.
That doesn't help. How about
AZT?
Carl Gerassi, one of the famous, most famous organic chemists of all time, taught at Wayne State when he was coming up with ethinyl estradiol.
Oh, the pill.
The pill. Mm. The first oral contraceptive.
Wow.
Among his many honors
received... And he
was
a Catholic, which is
was,
interesting.
...was membership in the National Academy of Sciences. The simple act of inventing the pill gave you something.
I always thought the first oral contraceptive was when the woman yelled no at the top of her lungs. Oh, sorry.
My jaw drops for the sixth time during the show. Oh, my. How many people's... Oh, my. I think that
he's... That assumes that it actually gets listened to, right?
I think Kimberly's inside our minds, Jim. How many people survived the Titanic?
Well, 700...
Not the movie or the boat?
763?
I mean, I'm giving it to you. It says the death count of 1503 is widely known. The amount of people who survived is less so. It's a relatively high number. 706 is what it says
706.
Here.
Well, actually, the number that died... It differs because that's the American Senate number, 1503. British Board of Trade was 1547.
Weird.
Why is that?
I don't know. Somebody had records of somebody that somebody else didn't.
I think the British had records of Jack. Changed her name, and they didn't
some
know how to track.
Some people count, and some people don't.
That's why. And what was the highest income tax rate ever set in the United States?
92%.
Yeah.
It says 94%, but yeah, I mean...
And there were still rich people in America.
That was in the early 1950s.
Before we decided that rich people and corporations should not have to pay
taxes. It started going up during the Second World War because, of course, the war had to be paid for, and the people that had the most to lose were the richest people.
The Iraq War is the first war we have ever fought where taxes were not raised to pay for it.
That's right.
Wow.
Because we can do this without... You know, that's not...
It was the longest.
Yeah. Read my lips. Yeah.
That's not part of the budget.
94% on taxable income over $200,000 in 1944 during World War II. That $200,000 would be about $2.6 million today.
So you're saying they taxed the higher brackets, the 1%, if you will, higher than the rest of us?
That used to be the way.
That's not fair.
This crazy progressive tax rate.
Yeah.
I tell you what, you guys go start working on your taxes. It's only a few months before April 15th, but now we've got to say goodbye. Professor Heather.
Goodbye.
Professor Jason.
Auf Wiedersehen.
Professor Jim.
Ciao.
Professor Dave.
See ya.
And Professor Beth.
Capital gains tax should be eliminated, and capital gains should be taxed at the same rate as wages, so Mitt Romney will actually have to pay something.
Beth had the top five goodbyes in the Billboard Hot 100, all at the same time.
You can email Ask the Professor at atp@udmercy.edu. Tweet to us on Twitter at AskTheProfessor or using the hashtag AskTheProfessorUDM or visit the Ask the Professor Facebook page.
Ask the Professor is transcribed to the facilities of the Briggs Building in the Department of Communication Studies in the College of Liberal Arts and Education at the University of Detroit Mercy's McNichols campus. Ask the Professor is taxed and directed by Michael Jason, and our executive producer is Dr. Vivian Dix. Until next week, I'm your host, Matt Meyer.